what's bad and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Hello, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology. Thank you for waiting. On WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. This show is available as a podcast on Mondays, and according to Melissa Davis, is apparently available on iTunes. We are forging ahead in technology here at WFYI. Behind the board, a gentleman who just lowered the seat, because when I sit at the producer's chair, I like to feel taller, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Very good. How about yourself?
Very good. And, well, a man who needs no introduction, but we have one for him anyway.
Lawrence of Arabia, he's an English guy, he came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music. It's music.
That's in the movie four times.
And there were no words to it.
What do you
mean? There are no words to that. Did you hear what I was singing earlier?
Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
Mike Perry, welcome aboard.
Hey, it's great to be back.
Great for you to be back, sir.
Glad you could show up.
In all sorts of ways. Wait a minute. Prep work. It's been a busy week here at WFYI and busy for the city. I mean, Indie Jazz Fest is going on tonight and, of course, tomorrow at Opti Park, tonight at the Madam Walker Theater, where I will be as soon as this program is over. We have Irish Fest. That's where Mike Perry's going to be.
Oh, yeah. He'll be drinking down some Young Bush and some Smittix. It'll be a fun time.
And asking people to talk like Fiona Ritchie. We know that's always a good thing.
Uh-huh.
Orange is happening. That's for your demographic, sir. Are you going to be there? It's okay if you don't.
No.
Okay. But there's all sorts of other items going on here in town. So go to your favorite Nuvo and check that out. However, opening in opening in theaters today. Well, we'll get through what's opening. Easy A, which apparently has been getting good responses. Some have even referred to it, compared it, dare we say, to the late John Hughes as far as smart high school fare. There's Devil, which was not directed by M. Night Shyamalan, but he produced it. Got to be careful with the with the titles and the way they promote these.
Yeah, I gotta wonder if that's the smartest idea, putting the Shyamalan brand on that right now.
Well, it's gotta be better than Last Airbender, right?
Anything would be.
Well, we'll see. And Alpha and Omega, which is an animated feature that I know somebody in my house will want to see. Then again, I haven't seen any trailers for it, so maybe she hasn't either. I don't know. And, yes, the
Kid Film Correspondent.
What?
Kid Film Correspondent.
That would be the one. Yes. That would be her. And also opening the documentary slash performance art slash could be fictional film I'm Still Here with Joaquin Phoenix, directed by Casey Affleck. And full disclosure, I haven't seen it, but there is one piece of advice I want to give to you about this picture. And everybody, of course, talks about his famous appearance on David Letterman, where he had a beard twice as big as the one I used to have. And but you had half as many words as I did, and a lot of people thought that, you know, the cheese had finally fallen off his cracker. But I will say this: if you look for this clip on YouTube, you got to look for the longest possible clip of the interview on Letterman, because at the very, very end, before CBS goes to commercial, you see Joaquin Phoenix completely break character, stand up, and shake Letterman's hand before it went to commercial. So if that doesn't give you an idea, I don't know what does.
Well, that and the director came clean today, so
Casey Affleck did?
Oh yeah.
On NPR?
Yep.
See, there you go, folks. Came clean on NPR. Yes, Joaquin Phoenix does not like being a celebrity, and he's going to retire from acting, or is he? But he had to make a point about celebrity and celebrity choices. So there. However, opening in theaters today, I got to see it this morning. Thank you to the couple whose baby didn't cry, even though it shouldn't have been there.
What are you people thinking?
I don't know.
Get a sitter, please.
It's 10:30 in the morning.
Then go at night.
A grandparent or something. Yes, I know. And the couple, they don't know I'm talking about them, and that's really okay. But it was at a certain place on the northeast side of town, and thank you to the crew for letting me slide in, and I guess for not throwing the parents out because the kid didn't make any noise. But I digress. Opening in theaters today is The Town, a film starring, co-written, and directed by Ben Affleck. It's better than what it sounds.
Miss Kesey, I would like to start with your abduction.
Four men made me open the safe. They took me as a hostage.
Were you able to see anything at all through the blindfold?
No.
When someone endures experience like this, there are often residual effects. You're okay?
Just having a bad week.
I like to have a good cry at the nail salon. Why shouldn't we buy a drink? There are over 300 bank robberies in Boston every year. Most of these professionals live in a 1 square mile neighborhood called Charlestown.
Your parents still here?
My mother moved away, and my father. You don't get out much. Something about being a change?
Make it a change. Either you got me or you don't.
You used to hang around with Doug McCray a little bit, huh?
You know Dougie.
I work for the FBI.
I'm putting this whole town in my rear view.
You grew up right here. Same rules that I did.
You guys sweet, you girlfriend.
Secret's this way.
If I think anything might happen to her, I'm gonna kill both of you.
Are you in love with me?
Yes.
Something
that looks like a print, because this not screwing around thing is about to go both ways.
I
want to
go with you.
I'm living with somebody else.
this is what I love about the show. My producer, as the trailer is going, what did you think of the movie? I'm like, dude, listen when I'm working, when I'm here. No, he does. He does listen. I know you're just trying to get sound cues ready and all that good stuff. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just when I thought we couldn't come across another slice of Boston angst, or would we get... Apparently, we're not tired of filming things in Boston. And really, I think that's kind of okay. New York needs a rest,
yeah.
As does Vancouver, which poses as everything, especially Miami. but no, this is not based on the Dennis Lehan novel. And like I said, Affleck is a co-writer on this. And, well, this is Affleck's second film as a director, the first one being the really, I should say surprisingly good Gone Baby Gone, which I really, really enjoyed. I know there are happy stories that happen in Boston, you know, and the problem was the last film that was, I think, happy set in Boston was Fever Pitch, and that movie was god-awful bad. Ooh,
I like that one.
Why do you like that film?
We talked about this.
He knows, nobody in that film knows anything about baseball or the Red Sox.
Also, I did see Gone Baby Gone.
And?
I liked it.
It's a really good film. It's a really good film. So now I know why maybe he did Daredevil so he could make little projects like Gone Baby Gone, and now this one.
Yeah, I still don't think that was a good enough reason.
You don't believe taking one for the other? And no? Not, well, we try. Okay. We're cautiously optimistic here at Film Sociology. But well, here we have, and some people are already comparing this to Heat. Some folks have even said it's the best crime film since Heat. That's a bit of a challenge. I think I enjoyed it almost as much as Heat for a couple. And it's similar for two reasons. So you have, well, this story and that story is what I'm trying to say. There's the story of the criminals. You have Ben Affleck. You have Jeremy Renner. And those, that's half. And then you have the John Hamm character who's in pursuit. Now he's not as yelly screamy as Mr. Pacino. No. However, I should say John Hamm finally gets to do something in a film.
Great.
Because the last thing we saw him in, I believe, was the bad remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah.
Where he had nothing to do. Absolutely nothing. No, Kobe, nothing to do whatsoever.
He may have spent an afternoon on the set.
I
think that
2 days because Jennifer Connelly was there.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I'd spend time.
Sure.
Alien number three. Jennifer Connelly was there. But no, he's got some intense work that he gets to do. Affleck's pretty good. Affleck is especially from a writing, directing, and acting standpoint. I know he gets a lot of flack for making Daredevil like choices or Jersey Girl choices, but he's pretty solid in this one. Renner, I think it's his first film since The Hurt Locker, and he is I think my colleague at Nouveau referred to him as the Cagney type character, the loose cannon of the group, the one with the short temper. Other folks that you recognize in this one, Rebecca Hall from Vicky Cristina Barcelona plays the victim that Affleck's character has a relationship with. Once you get past that plot point, the fact that a hostage and a captor who he doesn't reveal it to her, once that they're able to have a relationship, the rest of the film is going to be really smooth sailing for you, I think. One thing that should be noted, and I really, really enjoyed, I think this is the other comparison to Heat, is a long, loud shootout. And there's one in particular about halfway through the film that takes place through the narrow streets of Boston. Not Charlestown, where this film is primarily set, but, I mean, it almost had a Ronin feel as far as really tight spaces, one and a half cars being able to get through in an alleyway.
Cool.
So, yeah. So there's a little bit of all that. Pete Postlethwaite is in this. It's always fun to see him. Chris Cooper has one scene.
Love Chris Cooper.
Actually, he probably has more to do in the trailer of the other Ben Affleck film that Cooper is in as well, The Company Men, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, yes, for you weirdos out there that have been wanting to see Blake Lively dress in a skanky mode, here you go. Enjoy. You've been thinking about it too, sir, as have I. But she has nothing to do in this picture. She's the former girlfriend of
No traveling pants on this one.
You know what? At least I know she's older in this one. I had to hit myself in the head for thinking, wow, she's really attractive. No, how old are you? I shouldn't be thinking these. That's a bad, 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 bad thing. So anyway, despite your, look into my psyche, it's a really good crime thriller. Go check it out.
Now that was a good movie.
It was. It really was. Okay, so just a reminder, Machete is still awesome. It's been 3 weeks. I said it. And
it gets better with time, baby.
It gets, yes, like mezcal or, sangria.
I may go see it again tomorrow morning.
See, you're right. Somebody bleeped with the wrong Mexican. And I think the Expendables is still in theaters. Make a double bill of that. And if the drive-in isn't showing that, they really should. Is Tibbs still open?
I'm not sure. The Centerbrook's still open. They're showing, God, what are they showing?
I don't know.
The Last Airbender. That's why I forgot.
Oh,
I was trying to scrub that out of my brain. They're showing The Last Airbender.
Well, I guess I got to end the season with something. So, yeah. Now, Mr. Perry, you from time to time, as soon as something opens on Friday, and since it's been at least a week since we've seen you, have you seen anything new? I know you and I talked, I think, off air about The American.
Yeah, I saw The American last week.
No.
Oh,
that's
why? I think I would have rather watched Paint Dry. It was just very slow and plotting, and I believe there's more action in the trailer than there is in the actual movie.
Words can't be...
Much like Lawrence of Arabia, I have no words.
Which is great for a radio show.
And Clooney does what Clooney does well. He broods and looks concerned, and he does a lot of that in this movie. And the friend I was with really enjoyed, you know, seeing half of his butt and his abs. But
it's her, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you enjoyed the two women.
I enjoyed the two women, but it just too long of stretches where nothing happens. And they didn't really set up enough of his backstory for me to get invested in his character at all.
Wasn't the opening scene enough for you? I knew we weren't going to get a whole lot of backstory with this character.
It really wasn't.
Okay.
I stopped caring whether he lived or died about halfway through the movie. I was just begging something to happen to move the plot forward.
A giant wave.
Something. You know, someone spilling a Coke on me from behind the seat. I don't care.
Oh, that's not going to happen in certain theaters, no.
I was very disappointed in the American.
Wow.
I was expecting a lot more out of it, and I just didn't get it.
I want to see it. I like Clooney.
I do, too.
I like Clooney, too. I just didn't like this movie.
There you go, folks.
There you go.
We disagree on this one because I enjoyed the pacing of it, and
you said it was a slow.
I said it was a slow pace film.
Movie.
Boy, you do listen,
yeah,
sir.
That's
my guy right there.
Yeah. It was a struggle for me to stay awake through some of that. I mean, I felt myself nodding off.
And wow.
I was just very disappointed in it.
So what if he had made a weapons instruction show that we could show on Create?
Your gun and you.
Well,
that part of it was educational, but I wouldn't necessarily call it exciting. You know, it was
okay. All right,
it was just a big build up, and there wasn't enough payoff at the end.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, can we go back to them real quick?
What?
Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
That's the Woody Allen film that's set in Spain with Scarlett Johansson and Javier Bardem.
I thought it was.
What are you thinking of?
I thought it was Penelope Cruz and.
Yeah, she's in it too.
Oh yeah, Penelope Cruz. Yeah, she won an Oscar for that.
Yeah.
But it was the two young girls. I know. How's that? How cool is that Penelope Cruz the old one? But yeah. It's Rebecca Hall and Scarlett Johansson.
Oh. Okay.
No, you were correct.
Yeah.
You saw that one too?
No, I wanted to see that.
You really should.
Penelope Cruz in it.
It does have Penelope Cruz in it.
She's a babe.
Yes, sir. Now that it's turned into Boys Town here.
All right, Machete's awesome.
Machete is awesome. When in doubt, Machete is awesome. All right, we're going to take a short break and talk about what's new on DVD. And these are films with girls in them that were probably going to turn into a drooling mess. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Wow. these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Kobe Slagle now has a worksheet. He can not be a mind reader. And Mike Perry sitting in with me today. Woo, boy. Just a reminder, Indie Jazz Fest is happening tonight and tomorrow at Opti Park, and it's happening at the Madam Walker Theater tonight. And, yes, it's true. A little later on in the show, we will have another edition of What is Kobe Watching?
All right.
Because we have not only a third update, no, a second update, third segment on the same genre.
Yeah.
And then we will actually move on to a new genre for Mr. Slagle to be watching things. So we'll get to that in a little bit. All right, coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, a film that actually turned out to be one of the bigger surprises for me and for Disney, one of the biggest letdowns of the summer.
Yeah.
I know, we'll get to that first. But first, we're going to start with Letters to Juliet with Amanda Siegfried and Christopher Egan, or as I like to call the British Matt Damon, Gail Garcia Bernal, and yes, the electrifying chemistry of Vanessa Redgrave and Franco Nero.
Together again in the first.
We're leaving in 12 hours, and you haven't packed for Verona.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Good, right?
Yeah. Verona, Italy, where Romeo first met Juliet.
Sophia! Guardando, my sweet Sophia!
There is a place where the heartbroken leave notes asking Juliet for her help. It was there I discovered a letter that changed my life forever. I didn't go to Lorenzo, Juliet. I promised I'd meet him to run away together. But instead, I left him waiting for me. Please, Juliet, tell me what I should do. Love, Claire. It was written in 1957. I have to write back.
May I ask which one of you wrote this letter to my grandmother?
I wrote that.
What were you thinking?
She deserved an answer. Excuse me, Claire? Hi, my name is Sophie.
Juliet.
So you've come to find your Lorenzo.
Yes.
Of course, a card or letter is just too simple.
May I come with you?
Yes, of course.
We're looking for a Lorenzo Bartolini.
I am Lorenzo Bartolini.
Sono io Lorenzo.
I am Lorenzo. Lo io Lorenzo.
I am Lorenzo Bartolini.
Take him.
This is madness.
Charlie doesn't approve, which makes this all the more fun.
What you're doing for Claire is sweet.
It's just that I'm genuinely worried for her.
I need more time with her.
This isn't a good time because I'm in the middle of something.
It's not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to want to be with each other all the time.
So isn't your fiancé starting to get just a tad lonely?
I doubt he even notices that I'm gone.
Do you think he's still out there? Lorenzo.
Yeah. Incredible few days.
How many Sophies do you think there are on this planet? Don't wait 50 years before you find us.
The film was directed by Gary Winnick, who has given us, well, for me, one of the more overrated independent films of last decade, Tadpole, if you remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
A kid who gets to nosh off Baby New Earth and have bad thoughts about Sigourney Weaver. I don't know what they're talking about.
No.
13 Going on 30, the remake of Charlotte's Web, which I actually liked, and Bride Wars, which just got awful and bad. I I can't believe I like this film more than I did. You have a very soft premise, obviously. You heard where she answers a letter that was stuck in a wall, and 40 years later, the woman turns into Vanessa Redgrave from Today. And, of course, you have the Amanda Siegfried character, who's starting to look like Michelle Pfeiffer in this film, and that makes me worried. You don't need to know about that. That's really okay. But, of course, you know, the Amanda Siegfried character and the Christopher Egan character, of course, don't like each other, and we have to deal with that subplot. Mm. One of the things that saves this film from being a complete and utter mush is Vanessa Redgrave. She's so good in this. It would have been easy to play a feisty grandma type, and she underplays it. And when it gets to the last, spoiler alert, whatever, it's on DVD. When it gets to the reuniting with her and Franco Nero, Mr. Slagle, you're going to get a little bit of musical cinema history right now. Because, one, cool to see Franco Nero for many different reasons. He was the first star of the Sergio Corbucci Django series, which I should maybe make you watch another time, because that's a polar opposite in the spaghetti western genre back in the mid-60s. Instead of dust and dirt, it was mud. It was cold, and it was muddy, and he had a giant Gatling gun, and it was pretty cool. Well, Franco Nero and Vanessa Redgrave met on the 1967 musical flop Camelot with Richard Harris and David Hemmings, and they had a fling. And then they had a kid, and then they drifted apart. And then they reunited, and it felt so good, that Nero walked Natasha Richardson down the aisle when she got married to Liam Neeson. So there's a little bit of a true story. For once, something that's inspired by a true story, but it's not billed as this. So the fact that I knew this is film geekism that gets in the way of slamming a film for being mushy. But I want, because I knew that, I enjoyed this, enjoyed Vanessa Redgrave. Siegfried's fine. Gael Garcia Bernal gets to play the boyfriend who's not a cad. He's just forgetful. So with all of that, I actually wound up enjoying this. It's a date film that I think guys, there's worse things that guys could be dragged to in the date cinema department. So there.
I'm sorry, I got nothing. I'm still trying to imagine Amanda Siegfried in a Catwoman outfit.
Okay, let's hit the. Let's go.
Now that was a good movie.
Before it gets even darker and darker than we think it's going to happen. Also new on DVD and Blu-ray this week, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time. I got a note on Facebook. Shannon from Knoxville liked the film, but thought maybe it would have made more money at the box office if they had publicized it more. Has Disney ever not publicized a film?
No, but this is probably the worst showing that
a Jerry Bruckheimer film
has received. And I didn't find it to be a bad movie.
Okay.
Do we have a trailer or something?
I think we have a trailer. So, Kobe, why don't you hit it with that?
Legend tells of the most powerful force on Earth, the mythical Sands of Time. They are hidden within a sacred dagger. There are those sworn to protect it. Those who would do anything to possess it. And those whose destiny is tied to it.
Releasing a sand turns back time. Only the holder of the dagger is aware of what's happened.
The dagger can destroy all mankind. Only you can stop this Armageddon.
Now you really enjoy telling me what to do, don't you?
Prince, leaping to assist the fallen beauty.
Who said you were a beauty?
There must be a reason why you can't keep your eyes off me.
And we're back. Mr. Perry, you started. I the floor is yours.
I think this movie got a bum rap.
How so?
It's a nice little adventure movie. I mean, it's not, you know, Indiana Jones good, but I mean, it's not Raiders of the Lost Ark good, but It's certainly as good as Temple of Doom. And you've got a very buffed up Jake Gyllenhaal, who did a good job in carrying this movie. I mean, I believed him as an action hero. You've got Ben Kingsley being his typically Weasley evil Ben Kingsley. You've got good comic relief from Alfred Molina.
There should have been more Molina on this one. I felt you couldn't trust Kingsley for a frame.
Oh, no, no. You knew going in that he was going to be the heavy.
Okay.
Even as nice as he is at the very beginning of it, you knew he was going to be the heavy. But... And then you got Jim Arterton, who's on my list now.
who is on this and Clash of the Titans. As I said, she's now every fantasy role-playing fave. FARP, I think is what it's called.
But not too many dead parts in this movie. The action was pretty consistent throughout. The effects were okay, not great, but okay.
It was a video game.
It was a video game. And if you looked at it on that level, I enjoyed it. Will it, be an Oscar winner? No.
But, no, of course not.
But it, there are worse ways to spend a couple hours in the movies. Say,
like Lester Bender.
Or The American.
Oh, come on. Oh, that's harsh. The problem is, and by the way, the dagger, if you press the button, it goes back a few seconds.
Yeah. But,
you turn back the hands of time.
But, it was a typical... movie, a boy gets dagger, boy loses dagger, boy gets dagger again.
And girl. I think girl and dagger are one and the same at times.
But I bought into Jake Gyllenhaal as an action hero, so...
Oh, really?
I did.
You accepted the shots of him about ready to leap, and then a stuntman flying through the video game screen, through the window, and then the shot of Gyllenhaal landing. Those action scenes reminded me of something from the 50s.
But for the most part, he did a lot of his own stunts in this movie.
Really?
He did.
They should show us where.
well, when the DVD comes out, you watch the making of stuff.
Okay. You get it. I don't want to get it. Why should I be? Oh, because I'm the host?
Yeah.
I have to furnish. I furnish you with old titles. Apparently, I got to work on the new titles and everything.
Okay. When you Netflix the DVD.
Oh, jeez. You got to bring that up. Yeah. I have to. I'll get to it. I'll get to it one of these days. So... But it's still my show, so here's my audio.
No.
That's Kingsley telling you not to watch his movie.
No.
You know what? I'm waiting for the day Sir Ben does the Anthony Hopkins thing and just admit that, a lot of his stuff is just complete rubbish. That's still one of my favorite moments with Sir Anthony Hopkins, or Tony to his friends. I can't remember what he was... what he was promoting, but he was on Letterman. Mm-hmm. And something Letterman likes to do is have the, not the flashcards, but, the movie stills from the past. And so he brought up The Lion in Winter, which was, I think, Hopkins' first film. So he talked about working with Katharine Hepburn and Peter O'Toole. And then, of course, there was a picture of him and Jodie Foster. So he brought up working on that film and winning Oscar. And then just out of nowhere, and this is why I love Letterman, and I wish I had... Well, I do have a show, and I occasionally do this. But he shows a picture of Anthony Hopkins... from Free Jack with Emilio Estevez and Mick Jagger, and he just looked at the picture. Oh, that was rubbish.
Open wound, insert salt.
That's right. Yes. I mean, even Alec Guinness said Star Wars was silly. So I have to give it to actors who can finally. And of course, Michael Caine said that he read Jaws: The Revenge, didn't think about much of it until he read the original Paycheck. So. Mm-hmm. So we'll hopefully hear from more of Sir Ben about that. Okay, some other titles coming out on DVD and Blu-ray, and these are usually a blast from the past, especially for two non-codgers like Mike Perry and myself.
Yeah.
Walt Disney is finally putting out on DVD The Black Cauldron.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Kind of crippled the studio for a little bit.
It did.
Big
but,
time.
But I remember taking my very young daughter at the time to see that.
Wow. Also on Blu-ray, Breathless, the original, not the Richard Gere version.
Breathless.
Not that. No, the original
oh, okay.
French film. Also on Blu-ray, Carrie, film not to watch on prom night. Don't do it. Well, you're too old for prom. But
hey, I already went to prom.
It's hopefully hopefully you had a better evening than Carrie White in that picture. It's just all kinds of. And, of course, my favorite cinematic gene pool, her mother in the film is played by?
Piper Laurie.
And how old are they apart? A few years.
Yeah, a few years.
So, but yeah, that's early Brian De Palma, Nancy Allen, young John Travolta, Amy Irving, and Sissy Spacek, who got a nomination for that, as did Piper Laurie. Scary-ass film worth checking out. It is. Also on DVD, or on Blu-ray, Delicatessen. That's always fun. The French film from the director of Amelie. Oh, I have to mention it because what do I care? Glee's on Blu-ray and DVD finally, the first season. Oh, and what timing. On MGM Blu-ray, and we'll get to one of the actors in a little bit, the 1978 version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Love it, love it. I love the original, but the first remake was good in its own right.
What the remake does is take something that was a classic science fiction paranoia drama and make it a twist for that time.
Yep.
And those who, if you remember a lot of the 70s self-help, I'm okay, you're okay, that film just oozes it, especially with the Leonard Nimoy character.
Yep.
So that's really cool. Philip Kaufman directed that. Scary, and scary
Brooke
final.
Adams.
Brooke Adams and Donald Sutherland and Jeff Goldblum. And, yeah, one of the all-time great scary final moments in a picture, which we won't give away. I might play the audio sometime, but not today. Also out on Blu-ray, Jacob's Ladder.
Love it.
The Adrian Lyne film. Oh, I didn't see it, but I should mention Just Right, a film where Pam Grier plays Queen Latifah's mother. Let's move on.
Yeah, talk about a paycheck.
Yeah, no. Monster House is on Blu-ray in 3D.
Love that.
Really?
I enjoyed Monster House. It was harmless, for being about a house of these people. It's pretty harmless.
But it's not, what was it, Killer Bed, the bed that eats people? The Pat Oswalt bit that actually was a title. Also on Warner Brothers Blu-ray, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Great film from 1975. Nicholson won the Oscar. Louise Fletcher won the Oscar. Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay. There's only been, three films that have done that. It Happened One Night, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Wow.
I've seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
You did.
I saw it, yeah.
And?
I don't know.
You don't know. What don't you know about?
No pressure.
Yeah, none. You brought it up.
Too true to life for you or
No, I don't know. Just not really my thing.
Now, had you read it? Had you read the novel?
No, I've not.
Okay. And I got to do the play. At Edavine many moons ago. But I think it was one of those where I think all three sources are equally strong in their own way. So take that, Slagle.
Okay.
Also, how Universal is putting out on DVD Pirates of Penzance.
With
Linda Ronstadt, Angela Lansbury, and a very young Kevin Kline. That was a year, that was 1982. And I can't remember which came first, but there was Pirates of Penzance and Sophie's Choice. And he scared the hell out of me in Sophie's Choice. He's that good. I mean, we knew Meryl Streep was brilliant, and she got the Best Actress award and deserved it. But I was like, who is this guy? He is terrifying.
Yeah, and the first thing I remember seeing him in was A Big Chill.
Which he did a year later.
Yeah, and then I saw Sophie's Choice later. Is this the same guy?
I know. Quite good, quite good. So, also on Blu-ray, 7.
Gwyneth in the Box,
there you go. Also out on Blu-ray, The Third Man, the great Carol Reed drama with The Cuckoo Clock and Orson Welles. So there's some titles that are on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to take a short break. We have to pay tribute to a couple of actors and a director. And, yes, a new installment of What is Kobe Watching? You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Thank you. Roger!
We're not alone.
We got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Guests.
Guests?
Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like, your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
And welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Mike Perry sitting in with me, Kobe Slagle working the board, and before we get to your segment, sir, we do need to raise a glass to a few people. One in particular, French director Claude Charbon, who gave us, especially for you French foreign film fans out there, The Flower of Evil, The Girl Cut in Two, La Ceremonie, Madame Bovary, the 1991 version, Violette, The Butcher, Bad Girls, not that one, The Cousins, and Le Beau Serge. So, tribute to that, and not one, but two actors that Mr. Perry and I grew up watching in all sorts of things. And we mentioned the 1978 Philip Kaufman version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers is out on Blu-ray. Kind of sad timing, but actor Kevin McCarthy passed last week.
He played the lead in the original.
In the original, had that really cool cameo at the end where he was still running away from them. So quite a really thorough career. He was 96, I believe.
And still making movies as late as, well, this year.
2010. He was in a picture called Drawback, which we'll hopefully check up on. I know he was in Slipstream a few years ago. That was directed by Anthony Hopkins. Mm-hmm. We're going back because it's reverse chronological order on IMDb. Steel Big, Steel Little with Andrew Davis. Just Cause, the god-awful Sean Connery thriller. Greedy. Ghoulies 3. That was because he also did some odd B-movie thrillers, like Ghoulies 3, and I know he was in UHF, so he's in cult movie pantheon because he's involved with that picture. Inner Space, I know Joe Dante liked working with him. He was in Twilight Zone, the movie. My Tutor, I know Mike Perry remembers that My Tutor.
I do.
Mr. Slade, we will eventually get to 80 sex comedies, but not this week. The Howling, we know he was in that. Piranha, the original Piranha, Joe Dante directed, John Sayles penned, not the weird thing that was in 3D earlier this year. Worked with Robert Altman and in Buffalo Bill and the Indians, or Sitting Bull's History Lesson.
One of the great movie titles of all time.
It is. He was the publicist. He was in, of course, For Me, and I'm sorry to the ladies around town on wheels. For me, my favorite roller derby movie, Kansas City Bomber.
Mm-hmm.
It's Raquel Welch on roller skates.
Yeah, roller derby's making a comeback, so if you haven't seen that movie, check it out at your local video store.
You'll laugh your head off, and then watch Whip It, because it's more fairy tale, but it's more realistic as far as the matches.
Yeah.
Ace High, which is another spaghetti western, this time starring Eli Wallach. So that's, I think I may have that. Yeah, we played a bunch of that. Hotel, Big Hand for the Little Lady, The Prize, which I watched recently because they had a Paul Newman day on TCM, Newman and Edward G. Robinson.
And then a bunch of TV.
Big time.
Four television theater, GE Theater, Kraft Theater. The list goes on.
The Misfits. And this is what I didn't know. 1951 played Biff Loman in Death of a Salesman, the film version. This is the one with Frederick March.
Yeah.
So I forgot about that. So a big salute to Kevin McCarthy.
I hope they checked under his coffin for a pod.
Oh, jeez. Yes, indeed. And also passing this week at the age of 87 is Harold Gould.
Actually. You may not recognize the name, but you'd recognize his face.
Great mustache. He was, I know he was Rhoda's dad.
He dated Betty White and Golden Girls.
Yes, I know. I was told the only way I could tell Christy and Melissa here at WFY was he dated Rose. So. Also was a guy that worked he did an episode of Nip Tuck earlier this year, but a lot of grandpa roles in the latter years. He was in Freaky Friday, the Lohan, Jamie Lee Curtis version. Yeah. You bite your lip. Saw that one.
No, I didn't see that.
Stuart Little, he was Grandpa Little, therefore he has a special place in our heart at the Socey House.
And before he grew his mustache, he played a lot of heavies. He played cops and
that's true.
And gangsters.
And you know, the first thing I remember seeing him in actually was Love and Death.
Yeah.
He had the duel with Woody Allen. However, all that being said, I think there's one, it's a supporting role, but it's a hell of a supporting role in a hell of a film. He played Kid Twist, and as somebody wrote on the internet, Kid Twist will not pull another con. He played Kid Twist in The Sting back in 1973. Best Picture winner, directed by George Roy Hill, Newman, Redford, Eileen Brennan, Robert Shaw. Great cast, wonderful con film. Any film that involves an elaborate con, I don't care from the Mission Impossible film series and onward down, they owe a debt to this film.
Yes.
And he was quite good in that. Project X, Inside Daisy Clover, Harper. I forgot he was the sheriff in Harper. So another guy with a long, long career. So Harold Gould, salute to you. Okay, Mr. Slagle, it's that time. You worked on this really hard, so let's give it a listen.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe Watching?
Like the Sergio Leone trilogy, we are stuck on spaghetti westerns for the third segment in a row.
Well, before we get started, can we get the girls in here to cut Lawrence of Arabia for me?
With the argument?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Screw the argument.
All right. So just a reminder, because we were all here for the beginning of this. This segment began because Mr. Slagle had never heard the phrase spaghetti western. And,
that's right.
And after my aneurysm died down, I decided.
Thank God I know CPR, man.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate that.
We almost
that.
Lost you.
I know. Don't do that. But we decided. And you know, I said, you have to watch these films. Well, then Kobe came up with the idea, well, let's make this into a segment so we can nourish
To educate,
to nourish your film palate. And he went through, I have to give it to him, because there are some coworkers here, it takes months to watch movies I lent them borrow. Mm-hmm. Nobody in this studio. just making sure of that. But we won't name names. But Mr. Slagle got through the entire Sergio Leone box set
plus Once Upon a Time in the West.
Okay, so let's
wow.
Let's, yes, yep. That's a lot of
that's dedication.
That's
man.
A lot of gunplay right there.
Yeah,
that's a lot of Ennio Morricone, which is not a bad thing to have. Now, you admitted the last time we spoke, you thought A Fistful of Dollars was a better
yes.
film than The Good, the Bad,
I,
and the Ugly. It's okay. Just you know,
I liked it better. I liked it better. It was easier to get through, shorter. I just like that better.
Okay.
I like the look of it better. A few dollars more was still real good. But then Good, Bad, and the Ugly. I mean, the shootout scene in the last shootout in A Few Dollars More, getting you ready for.
Really cool.
Yeah.
With the pocket watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That kind of threw me the first time. It was like, oh, it was kind of creepy. And then it kept coming through and it kept coming
it's
back.
Recurring
and it kept
theme.
Coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And
they actually, yeah, they teamed together.
Yeah.
And then you saw Once Upon... Oh, and Ducky Sucker, you're kind of dismissing
because
Eastwood's not in it. It's a different picture. It is. I enjoyed it. It's a little haunting. It's a little more... There's some... The flashbacks in Ireland with James Coburn, I think that throws a lot of people.
That was a little
But that's kind of a cool two different worlds going between Coburn and Sucker. Now, Once Upon a Time in the West. Now, that's almost as long as The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, but it seems like you enjoyed that more.
Visually, it was amazing. Every shot, absolutely amazing. At the beginning, when the guys shoot up the ranch,
mm-hmm.
and the kid walks outside, and you see the five guys like come out of the brush and stuff. Oh,
especially the opening shot of Henry Fonda.
Yeah,
great. Now, the story on that was. Fonda had ever played a villain. I think as heavy as he got was War Yellow Ribbon. No, Fort Apache. Fort Apache. He was an adversary, but he wasn't a villain. I
right.
guess, for John Wayne.
He was just stupid.
Character, not the actor himself.
Right.
But he had never played just a full blown villain. So he grew his hair out, grew a beard, got brown contact lenses, and when he reported for the set. Sergio Leone, who spoke very little English, went ballistic and said, no, this is what I'm doing bad Italian. No, this is not what I want. I want Henry Fonda. So he shaved and put the contacts out, and there's this great opening shot, which many can call it the holy bleep, it's Henry Fonda shot, and then he guns down a 10-year-old kid. So great, great shot. And weren't we right about Claudia Cardinale?
So right.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think also The Professionals. It's, even though that's not a spaghetti western, that's a western with her in the 60s, and that's that's pretty good, too.
Once upon a time in the West, best part of The American.
Yes, there is a scene.
It comes full circle.
I couldn't believe I didn't bring that up last week, but yeah, there's a scene in a cafe, and that's being shown. Thank you, Mike Perry.
No problem.
That's good.
Nothing gets past me, man.
No, it doesn't. Okay, so we're gonna close the book on spaghetti westerns for now.
All right.
But because Jazz Fest, Indie Jazz Fest, is happening tonight, D.D. Bridgewater is at the Madam Walker Theater, and of course tomorrow at Opti Park. For those who know where the Broad Ripple Art Fair normally hangs out, that's where that's gonna be. You're going to have Najee, Al Jarreau, the Mike Stern Band, Charmaine Neville, the Owl Studio All-Stars, and two high school bands, Bloomington North, I believe, and Kokomo, who won the Ball State University Jazz Band, State Jazz Band Competition. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Now, because of this, Kobe,
what is that?
We have not one but two films for you, sort of incorporating jazz in cinema. Now, the first one we're going to start with is... Well, Clint Eastwood directing Bird, starring Forest Whitaker. And this is a film that really put Whitaker on the acting map. Prior to this, he had done supporting roles in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He had the really cool one scene in The Color of Money. And this time around, and this is one of the, at this time, I think only the second film Eastwood directed and did not appear in. Mm-hmm. You know the first? I know this one. That's why I'm asking.
No.
It's an old title. Maybe this is the obscure title I bring to you, Mike Perry, for sitting in today. Do you remember Breezy?
No.
William Holden
is
a middle-aged businessman. 1973, he's having middle-aged businessman who has an affair with a young Kay Lenz.
And why wouldn't he?
Exactly. So I will find that, and I will bring that in for you to check out. But cool. You, sir, you get to see Bird, and because of the death of Harold Gould and the fact that, well, Marvin Hamlisch got to redo Scott Joplin music, The Sting.
All right.
So there you go, sir.
All right.
Two films for you for next week, and thus another thrilling edition of...
What is Kobe watching? Actually...
Yes. You have something else?
I'll be gone next, so I'll be in New York.
You're in New York.
Next week.
Yes. You're going to be...
Oh, what was it?
I don't know.
We had the whole thing about what's the first movie that... Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
Yeah, so I will have seen that.
I see. Yes, I'm sorry. In the code that we're talking here on the air is First Date Films.
Oh, okay.
And we had discussed... I talked Kobe into... not showing The Room as a first date, and I'm telling you, you gotta wait before you inflict that on somebody special that's not your coworkers.
Well, if you're gonna be out of town, let me borrow The Sting.
You're gonna show The Sting to her, right? After Dirty Dancing.
I think I might take these with me.
Okay, just be careful, you know, in your travel case.
Yes, of course.
Yes, I'm one of those. Don't want you damaging the goods. So, Mr. Perry, any other titles that you've seen, new, old, or indifferent?
Not so much this week. The American was the last disappointing experience I had at the cinema. Going to see The Town tomorrow.
Good.
But I've been kind of busy this week, so I haven't seen a whole lot. Sorry.
No, it's all right. I just thought I'd check in, Kobe. You're a busy man when you're not watching spaghetti westerns. So you have those. The other one is worth checking out. I know Brian Hartz, who's been a guest here, Brian in Indianapolis, was asking if we were going to be talking about, with jazz and cinema, if we're going to talk about Lalo Schifrin, which is not a bad composer to think about. Did Mission Impossible.
Yep.
Dirty Harry was one I always remember. That's pretty cool. And honestly, I was going to get you another film, but I can't find my copy of Round Midnight, which was a really cool French film starring the great saxophone player Dexter Gordon, who got a nomination for that in 1986. He played, guess what? a jazz musician living in Paris.
Look at that.
Yeah, look at that. So
typecasting.
A little bit of typecasting, but it worked. It worked because Dexter Gordon was an American jazz musician living in Paris. And over in Paris and in Europe and parts of Asia, they treat their musicians like royalty, as well they should in some cases. So,
yeah, because we don't do that here.
Well, we do, but they're the bad musicians. You know, for every Buddy Guy and B.B. King, you have... Yeah,
Justin Bieber and...
Yeah, I don't know.
The Jonas Brothers. I mean, please.
You don't have Bieber fever?
No.
You know that phrase?
I have heard that phrase. It makes me twinge.
Twinge.
Yes.
I don't know that stuff. I don't know anything. It's really...
I don't,
the VMAs.
This is all new to me.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know any of the videos. I don't know. Yeah, Gaga, whatever. Call me when she does the theme from At Close Range. Thank you. You got that. All right. There was actually one. I did have a double feature. Speaking of death in cinema, we all know Patricia Neal had passed.
Yes.
Fine lady. And TCM had a wonderful double feature. And every time anytime I bring it up, my wife rolls her eyes big time. But you remember the subject was roses?
I do.
Where she is the mom, Jack Albertson is the dad, Martin Sheen is the son. This is 1968. And Martin Sheen plays a young man who returns from World War II to his bickering household. And Neil got a nomination for it. Albertson won Best Supporting Actor that year for it. It's directed by Ulu Gosberg. Music by Judy Collins.
Because
when you think, yeah, not bad. Although, you know, sound like a folk film, folk song from the 60s, not something from 1943. Mm-hmm. However, but it was interesting watching the two of them, and I think this was Patricia Neal's first film after she had the really bad stroke in 65.
Could be, yeah, it could be.
Because I think it was like In Harm's Way might have been where, that was one of those films where In Harm's Way is Kirk Douglas, John Wayne, and the entire Screen Actors Guild were in that film. And if they weren't in that one, they were in How the West Was Won. Mm-hmm. Back around the same time.
Oh, a lot of them were in both, yeah.
That's true, because all you had to do was, like, one scene, and then you hopped over and you did one scene, and that was kind of how that worked. But it was that, and then there was the 1949 film that got around the map, The Fountainhead, with Gary Cooper, and based on the Anne Ryan novel of an architect.
Showed those back-to-back?
No, she didn't shoot those back-to-back.
No, did they show those back-to-back?
Oh, back-to-back, yes, they did. I'm like, yeah, dude, one's from 1949, the other's 68, come on.
No.
Sorry. Why do I question you?
I don't know.
You're my guest. I should treat you with respect.
Yeah, you should.
Wow. Ow, man. Jeez. But, of course, really good chemistry between Patricia Neal and Gary Cooper. And, of course, they wound up having a thing together.
They did.
After that, and which kind of broke off because he would not divorce. And then they would watch Adam's Rib. No, I don't know what they watch or anything about that. We will see. So, well, Mike Perry, as usual, thank you for coming in. I have to make a note to myself, get breezy. Not Breezy Peyton. Hello, Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band.
Hello.
But there's a film called Breezy that I should check out. And you know what? I think Kobe is an unofficial assignment. I think you should Google Image K-Lens.
Okay.
L-E-N-Z. So you won't be disappointed.
We'll expect two pages on her.
Writing. Writing. I don't know what you're thinking of.
If we're going to give you homework assignments.
And by the way, because I'm linking it all back to The Onion, The Onion for their cult canon next week is Death Wish 3, which AMC showed this past week, along with Death Wish 4, which featured Kay Lenz. There,
yay.
I'm done. Some final words, and let's get out of here.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. Thanks to Mike Perry. Thanks to Kobe Slagle. Hope to see you at Jazz Fest tonight and tomorrow.
Irish Fest.
Take care, everybody.